Hey, everybody. It's the Great Debates Podcast. I'm Dan Medina, your moderator. I'm here with Steve Healy.
Hello.
Healy, Dave, why are you shaking your head?
Because I love the way Medina sounds.
I know, right? Yeah. It feels like coming home.
It's like he relaxes more each time.
It's crazy.
Also, rare pleasure today in the studio. We have our engineer, Mark Caracello. He's not mic'd up, unfortunately.
No, you will not be able to hear from him, but he's
given a wave.
And Mark's waving to
it
everybody.
Would be impossible to do great debates without him. He's indispensable.
So true.
Member of the team. And just a great dude to have around. So that's fun.
Oh, he's blowing us kisses and gratitude.
Mark, yeah. Hi. Hey.
You know, Mark used to sell ice cream cones at Disney World. And if you drop your ice cream cone at Disney World and you go back to the ice cream guy, they have to give you a new one.
They have to give
that's
you a
Walt's,
new one.
That's Walt's rule.
Oh, God.
I guess that's something.
Let's jump right into it, right?
I'm telling you. I got a topic. I want Healy to take the pro. 3 minutes on the clock. Micro debate. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Married guys are better than single guys.
Okay, this is pretty obvious that married guys are better than single guys. I am a single guy, and you know, I like my life a little bit. I have a bit of freedom, but married guys have made a commitment. They're putting something other than themselves into their life and taking on some responsibility. Those are some of the definitions of the ways you be better. Also, I don't know if this is true or where he got it, but I'm getting this from an old David Brooks column that just like married people live longer, they're healthier, their habits are better, they're more likely to be involved in schools and institutions and volunteer work and stuff. I think single guys are much more likely to be scumbags than married guys. That's my opening statement.
Married guys are single guys who just happen to get married. My argument is going to be that they're the same as single guys.
That's a new level of sophistry for you.
Why?
Keep going.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
I'm stepping into your opening statement. I'm sorry.
I think it's an interesting... I thought it was a good take.
What? That they're the same?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, because to me... I thought you would expect me to come out swinging with like single guys are amazing and they can do whatever they want, but I tried to take a different tack and argue that single guys are married guys. So just the only difference is that one of them has agreed to share a legal contract with a woman.
You sort of just unraveled the debate.
Yeah, I know. That's why it was a super cool argument.
No, it wasn't. Now there's no argument.
No. I can win the debate just by proving that there's nothing even worth debating. If people agree with me that they're the same people, generally speaking, then I've proven that married guys are no better than
single
guys.
There's two different kinds of
guys.
There's two different kinds of people. Married people and single people. They're distinguished by whether they're married or not.
That's exactly my point. The only thing that distinguishes them is that one of them has entered into a ceremony wherein they agree to marry a woman.
Yes, but that ceremony comes with responsibilities and duties and a new lifestyle, and that makes the people in that category better than the people in the category single.
Okay, so that's your argument. I have two arguments. One is which they're basically the same guy. The second of which is that single guys have more freedom to do the things that actually contribute to society in a meaningful way. They have more time. They have more energy to do things that create lasting inventions or art or things of that type.
Who do you think is the greatest single guy inventor of all time?
Single guy inventor?
Yeah.
Probably Thomas Edison before he got married. I don't really know the history. But or Benjamin Franklin before he got married. I don't really know. I mean, single guys are capable of amazing things before they get married. That doesn't make them not married guys.
Most of Franklin's career, I think, he was married.
I have no idea.
And was racking up mistresses, I believe.
Right. Well, if he hadn't been married,
all the founding fathers were married, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, that's not. I don't. I think that's a like historical
or maybe they were,
context. I would. Oh God damn it. I mean, I imagine that didn't go quite the way you wanted it to, Healy. You didn't want me to do that kind of thing.
I mean, I don't care. I think it ruins what we're doing.
No, it doesn't. It adds
so,
to it.
Dave, it's so tiresome. Who cares who wins the
debate? That's all I care about.
What is? I don't know why
you're the
you
only
care about
person
that.
Who cares
I don't,
about
yeah.
that.
Like you were like after the golf football debate, which
yeah.
I think was last week or the week before.
Yeah. And I won. It felt great.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. Like, we got midway through the debate, and I did my best to defend football, and I was like, I love golf. Whatever, it's fine. It's great.
It's the only thing
Who
that
cares?
Matters to me. Why are we... I don't understand the purpose of this if there isn't...
The purpose of this is to create score? Entertainment with some a little bit of conflict, like with any comedy. Now, you're dodging the conflict part.
See, I believe that my purpose here is to honor the debate itself. And I feel that in so doing, I'm entertaining the audience as much as possible.
Honoring the debate means taking a little bit, accepting a bit of the resolution. You know, like in the purest kind of this high school debate, that it's actually on the pros' job to sort of like define the terms, and like we don't really have bother with that because I sort of assume you're going to come in good faith. But maybe we need to start doing that. Like we need to have a tedious, maybe we need to have work out in a contract before every debate where we.
I'm all
out
for tedium. I'm comfortable with the role that I play in the debates, and if the listeners have a problem with it, they can email us and tell me to loosen up and not try to win the debate.
Guys,
as much.
It's time for host chat.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to talk about something. Everybody involved in the Great Debates team, the four of us, is a white, cis, straight male. So I'd like to, and I think that is, you know, that happens, but I'd like to announce the Great Debates Diversity Initiative.
Oh, this is exciting.
We're looking to... Good. Take on someone who's not something other than those things. Uh-huh. White, straight, male, cis. And so you can put yourself out there and we'll take you on. If we find somebody who's a good candidate, we'll happily pay you nothing as we all receive.
Right.
And you can help us put together the great debates.
Okay. And they're what? What do they become? They're just part of the
team?
They'll
be part of, maybe they could be associate producer or something like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What's your ideal candidate?
Transgendered, not white person from a foreign country
who
can speak English fluently.
Who isn't a comedy writer?
And is chill. Yeah.
You guys don't watch Big Brother, do you?
No.
Okay, so it's the best program on television. It's fascinating.
Uh-huh.
This year they had a transgendered woman.
Cool.
Or transgender. Well, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Audrey. She used to be Adam. And she said an interesting thing in a recent episode, I thought, which was one of the castmates or whatever, housemates, was like, "What is it, transsexual? What do I call you?" She was like, "Transgender." She was like, "But I actually don't even prefer that. I don't like that term. What term do you like?" And she said, "Female." And she said, "I think that trans implies transition." And so the guy was like, "Oh, so would you say that you were transgender and now you're female?" And she was like, "Yeah, that is more comfortable to me." I thought that was interesting because when you think about it,
The trans part is over.
Yeah. So I don't know. Now I don't know what to do. I don't know what to call all of my trans
friends.
Well,
what if it's transed?
Transgendered. It's a great idea.
Transitioned.
I don't know. I think they want to have arrived.
Hey, how about Audrey? How about we call you Audrey?
Yeah, boy,
Audrey,
that's great. How about we call her friend? How about we call her sister?
How about we call her big brother person?
How about we call her most recent
the chick from
evicted
Big Brother.
Person from the Big Brother 17? Huh? What's wrong with that?
Real quick, I thought of two riddles for kids.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Real quick?
Yeah. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Why? How come no turkeys have been successful at playing Major League Baseball?
Okay, give us a second. How come no turkeys have been successful at playing Major League Baseball? How come no turkeys?
I'm gonna give up.
Because they hit nothing but foul balls.
Oh. They hit nothing but foul balls?
Yeah.
Foul balls. The slightly dirtier version is...
I'd love an improvement.
They have nothing but foul balls.
Okay. Like I said, they're
better.
For kids.
Yes, okay.
Okay, one more.
Yeah.
What is Paul Bunyan called when he's asleep?
Okay. What is Paul Bunyan called when he's asleep?
I love watching the gears in Medina's head working. I think
give us one more second on this.
Okay.
What is Paul Bunyan called when he's asleep? I love knowing that like one out of five people listening to this are screaming the answer out loud right now. They know it. What is Paul Bunyan called?
Email if you feel like you got it immediately. Email us and tell us.
Honor system.
Yeah, and if you are a person who paused the podcast at this point and thought about it until you got the answer and wouldn't turn it back on, email us about that too. GreatDebate69@gmail.com. Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
You have an answer?
No. Oh. Go ahead.
What is Paul Bunyan called when he's asleep? A slumberjack.
Oh. slumberjack. And did you get the job
pretty
at
good.
The Bazooka Joe Joke Factory?
Wait, pretty good.
I'm sorry, I want to get Medina involved too, but I have a story
about
puns and stuff.
Please.
I was at work recently.
Okay.
And
Love on Netflix.
Yeah. And soon. Brent Forrester, our showrunner, and he was like, okay, Dave, I have a riddle. I have a similar thing. He was like, I have a riddle for you. Let's see if you can guess this.
Okay.
Guess what the pun here is.
Okay.
And so he said, here's how he set it up. He was like, Dom DeLuise and a famous guy who used to chop up and eat people are standing next to each other.
Okay.
And I thought I had it.
I think I've got it.
Okay, what do you have?
Is it Dom and Dahmer?
That's what he had.
Oh. And,
but what I had, which I think is equally good, if not more creative, is I was like, oh, Cannibal Run.
Oh.
Come on, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise was in Cannonball Run, and he was standing next to a cannibal.
Okay.
You don't think that's... I thought it was interesting that two... I'll call
there are
them
two
great
possibilities. Possibilities.
Had evolved from the same... now I feel a little broken spirited.
Oh, no. You should feel great. Everything you said was wonderful.
Okay, all right. Now I feel like you're being sarcastic.
Guys, do you want to do a debate?
Yes, it's time.
Honestly, I want to hear more of your voice, Medina. That's all I want.
I have a topic. I have a sort of a relevant... We're at midsummer here, deep in the heart of summer.
Mm. Keep talking. Mm.
We made it through 4th of July without blowing each other up.
Hello, not for lack of trying on your
not
part.
Not for lack of trying.
Fucking great party.
Medina was launching so many fireworks off his roof, it looked like Kandahar.
But I have a summer topic for us, and I think traditional roles are probably best for this one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, traditional gender roles or traditional debating roles?
Both.
Okay.
Okay, topic up for debate. Freshly cut grass is a top 5 smell.
Absolutely. I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
nice to meet you, man.
I'm going to list the top 10 smells. Number 10, campfire. Number 9, wet woods. Number 8, this could be a little overlap
like
on number 9.
Go ahead.
Pine trees. Number 7, freshly baked apple pie. Number 6, coffee. Number 5, sea spray. Number 4, fresh cut grass.
Number 4, so you're...
Yeah,
you're
in the top 5.
Okay.
Number 3, lavender. Number 2, cooking bacon. Number 1, freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
That's your opening statement?
Yeah, I think that fresh cut grass is a famous smell that evokes childhood, playing in the yard, golf, your favorite thing, Dave. The wonder of summer. It's just the freshest, newest, life-affirmingest smell out there. I love the smell of freshly cut grass. I think there's a reason we all know of it as a great smell and love it and enjoy it. It's definitely in the top 5 smells.
Okay, well, you've done a little more preparation on this than I have, which I feel
precisely
like is a bit...
40 seconds. Okay.
I think, first of all, you've left out some great smells.
Okay.
One of which is Cinnabon, which is clinically proven to be the most desirable smell.
Okay, Cinnabon can bump... Well, Cinnabon can bump wet woods.
Well, you don't... Just because you have a list doesn't mean that it's the authoritative list. You've also forgotten oranges and the citrus family.
Ooh, yeah. Grapefruit. I think it's even better than oranges.
Sure. Okay. Those, to me, are better than fresh cut grass. Campfire. This is a side topic. You have campfire at number 10.
Yeah.
I think that campfire needs to be eliminated entirely because it's one of the most toxic things that humans can ingest. And I have a personal campaign against wood smoke, and everyone needs to know that it's more dangerous than smoking cigarettes, and you shouldn't have campfires.
Okay, what do you mean by that? It's more dangerous than smoking cigarettes.
Like, the toxicity of wood smoke.
It's equal to how many cigarettes?
I don't know.
One sit by the fire.
I don't know for sure, but I know that in addition to being a carcinogen, it is also, it fills your lungs with particulate that could cause a host of diseases.
You've and told me that, and I believe you, and yet I've chosen many times to sit by a fire because it's worth it to me.
I would take...
I'm making that trade.
That's okay with me. It is just odd to me that we have not in some way regulated the burning wood industry or informed our citizens. This is a separate thing. I don't know why we're talking. But it is crazy.
Well, good luck taking on big wood.
It's also horrible for the environment.
Big wood and big fire. That's a powerful duo.
Okay. You have cookies. You said chocolate chip cookies. I would say virtually any kind of cookie. I mean, if those to me count as multiple smells, like if you're cooking peanut butter cookies, that's going to smell better than fresh cut grass.
Do you like gingerbread and ginger snaps?
I don't, but I like the smell of them. I would also say...
What's your favorite thing that you like the smell of, but you don't like the taste of it? Is there something
gasoline.
Like that? You like the smell of gasoline?
Yes, I'm one of the people who likes the smell of gasoline.
I was watching this documentary the other day about...
Feels like a tangent?
Yeah, it is. It was called Valley Uprising, and it was about the guys, the first rock climbers in Yosemite. Fantastic movie, highly recommend it. But there was a plane crash in Yosemite, and these rock climbers got up to it. Mm-hmm. And the plane had been delivering bags and bags and bags of weed from Colombia. Mm. And the rock climbers grabbed the bags and they went and sold the weed. But when you would smoke this weed, it had a little bit of jet fuel on it. So it would like, poof, it would explode in your face.
Jesus.
Yeah. And people liked the gas added to it.
They liked it.
Yeah. We have moved quite a bit away from the debate. I think I'm winning. So
no,
you want to get back. I'm going to give you some time to get back into it.
So here's something that I think is important is that the smell of fresh cut grass for us has a nostalgia built into it, but the reality is that fresh cut grass does not smell the way it used to because so much grass is treated with pesticides and chemicals these days, and when grass is cut now, it releases these chemicals into the air and you smell it along with the grass. So it's almost like you probably think of this. It would be like if there was like a tiny bit of doo-doo in chocolate chip cookies. I think that's the best analogy anyone could come up with.
Yeah.
A little bit of doo-doo and chocolate chip cookies.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's an issue. That alone, I feel like...
I mean, I think that's part of the potpourri of fresh
cut
grass.
No, that's absurd. You don't actually think that pesticides smell good. You can't really be believing that. Potpourri, by the way, smells better. A good potpourri smells better than fresh cut grass.
What is potpourri like? Is potpourri just any smelly stuff?
No, I think a high quality potpourri, either candle or little bag of herbs. And I mean, it usually has some lavender in it, which you pointed to.
Yeah, lavender's on my list.
Okay, but there's other smells in a potpourri that I think smell better. Also, I think in general, almost any freshly cooked food smells better than fresh cut grass. You said bacon, I'll throw out a burger on a grill. If you, because it actually here's why.
That's now, not let's a top five smell.
Let's get into the science of it. If you smell food as opposed to grass, you can A, have nostalgia for it. You can B, enjoy the smell on a visceral level, on like an olfactory sense level, the same as fresh cut grass. And C or third, you can actually anticipate the eating of it, which activates more of your senses. So I would actually say that any smell that involves cooked food or food being prepared is almost by definition above the smell of fresh cut grass because it evokes more of your senses and a more visceral feeling.
I think that is actually makes it a less cool smell because actually it's not the smell itself. It's the idea that the news that you're going to eat a burger on pure smell.
What an insult to smells. Yeah. What an insult to smells that all they're good for is the scent
itself.
Tea.
Well, I think food smells, part of it is the tease. But if we're talking about smell, and freshly cut grass is a superior smell to like a burger you're not going to eat, smell against freshly cut grass.
This is interesting. You're taking the traditional Dave route here, which is you're trying to narrow the scope of the argument. You're saying that it's just the smell itself and not the emotions
I can see how you
or
think
the senses
that, but
that the smell
evokes. I'm actually just taking some time to tear down one of your arguments.
But I totally disagree. You're saying that I'm not allowed to talk about like the anticipation of eating or something because that's not a smell. Or am I misunderstanding you?
I'm saying that should be discounted from those smells.
I don't see why it should.
Because part of it is like the promise of a treat.
Yeah, that's great. And then you get the treat.
I think it's time for closing statements.
Okay,
Dave, I want you to picture yourself early morning light, dawn, May morning. You're a senior in high school at Needham High. And Needham High slopes down a beautiful hill to a beautiful memorial field. And they've just cut the grass They've over by the baseball diamond, they've cut the grass in the outfield. They've cut the grass on the football field, which is now the girls' lacrosse field. And it smell, and there's the sprinklers are going, and it's wetting the grass, and you just smell life, youth, adventure, sports, childhood, memory. That is a top five smell.
Hmm. Are you done?
Yeah.
Roses, rain, fresh linen, lemons, a chicken parm sub, a cute girl. All these and more smell far better than fresh cut grass. I could keep going. Chocolate, vanilla, coffee. You mentioned coffee. If you look at the scent, here's, you know what? Look at the Yankee Candle Company. Tell me what are their best sellers, and tell me whether fresh cut grass is in the top.
Well, that's
five. Closing statements. That's all I got.
It may be. I don't know. But it is. That might be because it's very hard to replicate that smell.
If it exists at all, then they've replicated it. And the question is it? If anyone out there works for the Yankee Candle Company or any candle company, please email us. Send us the data. We need to know, where does fresh cut grass rank in your smell sales?
We should do a live event at the... Have you ever been to the center of New England? The Yankee
No.
Candle Company's headquarters slash outlet?
Is it SC?
Deerfield, Mass.
Is it
SC? Of course
center.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, we got to thank somebody for that topic.
Oh, great call.
That topic came in on Twitter from Thomas, at Ted Winscott at Twitter. Thanks so much for the topic. I think I have a couple of the barbecue aprons left, so we'll send
is
you one.
Is his name Thomas or Ted?
His name is Thomas, but his Twitter handle is at Ted Winscott. And he tweeted this topic to us.
If he hadn't suggested a great topic, I'd be very skeptical about his internet presence.
Thomas. Okay. I wonder how many new followers he'll get from this.
He's at 79 right now. Good luck, Thomas. We're all rooting for you.
Medina, what do you think? Is fresh cut grass?
It's a great smell, no doubt. But yeah. It's the list it of so many good smells.
There's so many good smells. We've talked before in this podcast about our friend Professor James McHugh, who works on Sanskrit over at USC, but he also, through Sanskrit, that's led him into the making of perfumes and all kinds of interesting subjects. And he got really into, in lots of sort of 18th century European writing, they talk about newly mown hay as being the greatest smell of all. And it was a great challenge for perfumers and stuff to try and capture newly mown hay. And he got from...
Mown.
Like mown hay.
Mown
like
or mowed.
Sized mown. Or mown hay.
Is that the past, a past tense of mow?
I'm hearing this from him, having read it in old books.
Right.
At one time, it must have been the past tense of
mown.
Freshly mown. It does sound kind of quaint.
So he bought this, like... essence from Poland that he thinks is the closest possible like liquid replicant of this smell, and it does smell fantastic.
But is it top five?
Nah.
What if this had been what the Chris Rock movie Top Five was about?
Oh, that would have been great.
It would have?
Did you see there wasn't enough talking about top fives in Top Five, I felt. Did you see did you think that a lot of people write and they say that they want more of you and me saying what we really think.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great smell, but top five is so exclusive. I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface of
just
great
quick,
smells.
Just off the top of your head, don't worry about it. Yeah, just yell out five smells.
I think if I could make grapefruit and lemon two different smells, and I think I put them both in the
both
top five.
In your top
really?
Five.
Both.
Yeah,
oh,
just
yeah,
in terms of
know.
Like things I like to smell around the house. Yeah, sure.
I and am then, embarrassed I forgot.
Then
grapefruit.
It's also like anything that my mom has ever cooked would be in the top. Like, the 100 things that my mom cooked the most frequently would be basically the top 100 smells.
Your mom has 100 things she cooks?
Yeah, I think, she was a great cook.
A lot of things to cook. The way that food moves you, talked about this visceral response that you get. I mean,
that's true.
Mown hay doesn't really cut
tough.
It.
Do you, what about the smell of a baseball glove? You must love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, nice. I like that. It's not amazing to me. It's a little like something a little... What is it? Oily or something?
I like anything chemical. Like we talked about gasoline, but also
like
when you have a permanent marker and it like...
I like that. A Sharpie.
I don't like that. I don't like
smell.
That.
You
I,
like gasoline, though.
I do.
But
I don't.
Not
you know
the
what?
Marker.
When I was a kid, I loved the smell of gasoline. And now I don't. I still like it, but not as much. I realize that's borderline interesting. Probably not.
You're taking us back to the prehistory of this podcast when it was, is this interesting?
Yeah. There's a reason we moved away from that.
Guys, I enjoyed our podcast today.
Yeah, what do you smell? What do you like? What
As
you
always,
like
email smell? Us. Right?
Email us.
Medine, do you want to give
about
the deets?
Write us about some smells.
I got a couple more smells that that are like indisputable. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Little baby that just came out of the bath.
Okay.
Like with a little bit of baby powder on him or her.
Yeah.
That's, come on.
Uh-huh.
And also a little puppy that just got groomed. Little puppy.
Yeah. I don't think puppies are anywhere.
But they just got groomed and washed.
Yeah. Nah, I don't like a wet dog. That's not a good smell.
No, it's not wet. It's dry. It's perfectly dry.
Sawdust.
Friends
and
out
cut
there,
wood.
Send us some emails and some tweets and stuff. We're at greatdebate69@gmail.com, and our Twitter handle is @greatdebate69.
Send us your smells.
Great talking with you today. We'll see you soon.
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.